What is up and welcome to another episode of Rise and Pod. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. The other day, I had an opportunity to sit down with Chase Ingram, and Matt O'Keefe was a part of the conversation. We leaned on him quite a bit in regards to his experience representing athletes, working with athletes. And it was a great conversation. We talked about what makes an athlete a professional in the sport of CrossFit. Now, this is a relative definition. I mean, you can make it up, whatever you want to do. You can call it what you want to call it. You could be what you want to be, right? Like all these things. Chase and I had pretty much a similar perspective when it comes to, we believe that when you can tag yourself a professional within the space of CrossFit, you are having an exchange of financial support by a brand or winning monies from competing. You need this exchange to happen. Today's episode is me alluding to or kind of continuing this conversation with myself, because you guys listen to this podcast because you know I like to rant, you know I like to hold these conversations so that I can share my perspective with my experience as an athlete, with my experience as a coach, and obviously being able to commentate within the space and share my thoughts. So I appreciate you tuning in, but that's what we're getting into. So to make my point, I think that there has to be an exchange of financial reward. And yes, it can come from other brands and sponsorships, or it could come from winning competitions. That's when you consider yourself a pro. Now, there are levels to professionalism. I'm going to use myself for an example. And for those of you that don't know, I competed in the space from 2011 through 2017. That was one of my primary drivers of my day in and day out actions, which means, yes, I earned money in other ways, doing personal training, coaching CrossFit classes, and then eventually even leading and teaching level one seminars to CrossFit athletes and participants who had the desire to coach one day, open their own affiliate, et cetera, et cetera. I say all of this to help you understand that I've signed my first contracted relationship and deal in 2014 with brands. So for 3 years, I would go on to be financially supported with brands like Progenix, Killcliff, Stronger, Faster, Healthier, Reebok. Eventually, I would go on to help co-found a supplement brand, FNX. But before that, my partner was providing us supplements and payment before we even launched the brand in order to help provide us with the means to travel to the CrossFit Games as a team in 2017, where we would go win the CrossFit Games, launch our brand at large, FNX Fit, line of supplements. If you guys want to support me, go support our brand. Go browse our site, fnxfit.com, to kind of see what we make and what we provide to the community in regards to nutritional needs and, of course, recovery support. I digress, though, back into this conversation. I was making money being an athlete. To take it even further back, folks, I've had the experience of being a quote-unquote professional athlete by getting paid to play college football. For 4 years, I had my housing covered, my books covered, my meals covered. Now, it's not like you're making a lot of money. I was getting a check for like $1,200 every month, and that had to last me for groceries and anything else that I wanted to do. So it's a stipend, but I think it might have been a little more than 12. I don't remember exactly. All I know is I was budgeting very tightly and everything I needed was provided, yet I wasn't living an extravagant lifestyle by any means necessary. That was at Weber State University. Weber State, great, great, great. I'll say it one more time. Weber State, great, great, great. They are 2-0. Going into this week, they play University of Utah, which is ranked number 12 in the country. They're going to go down the street to Salt Lake City. And the odds are slightly against them, believe it or not. Surprise, surprise. But I'm certainly interested to see what happens when they take the field. I hope they're focused. So shout out to the boys at Weber State and the Wildcats at large. I'm going to come back to this conversation again. I was pursuing arena football. I went from playing at Weber State. I played 2 years of arena football. Now, arena football, what I played, it wasn't AFL 1 because that league folded because of financial reasons. So I played in a league called the AIFA. I was making a few hundred dollars per week to play this game. Now, with that being considered, I still had to work because a few hundred dollars a week, you do the math. It's like I'm living off a college stipend all over again. Can't have that. Didn't want that. Wanted to do other things, live a different lifestyle. So I continued to work. I was coaching. And this worked adjacently for me in my future career, and it helped me stumble upon CrossFit anyways. But the bottom line is that even though I technically had this exchange of money, I would still consider myself almost a semi-pro athlete. Yes, there was a contract involved. Yes, I played seasons. Yes, there was a risk for me to get cut. Like, there were all these expectations, and I watched people get cut, watched people walk away from the sport. I watched people cling to the sport for way too long with families that were making $300 a week or whatever it was they were making. Not all of us got paid the same to pursue this. So again, even in that situation and circumstance, there's an exchange, right? So this is a level of professionalism. When it comes to CrossFit, the number of athletes that actually get paid by sponsors isn't really high. Now, there are a lot of athletes that will receive financial support. Athletes will request and or negotiate deals so that they can get support to travel to competitions. Let's say I'm a brand and I want people to wear my true Train to Rise Up shirts. What I might do, or Rise and Pod, let's get some Rise and Pod gear, right? Rise and Pod might provide an athlete with three t-shirts. And I'm going to say, hey, what I'll do is I'll pay for your flight to go to Wodapalooza. So that part's covered. And I'm going to need you to wear these Rise and Pod t-shirts in three of the events. Right. And that might be a $500, $600 investment for me as a brand, but I know that it's like marketing, and maybe I'm creating brand awareness. People will understand that my podcast is here. It exists within the functional fitness space. I support CrossFit. I talk about CrossFit. I try to shed light on it. I try to talk about training and methodologies, and right, all these things could be pluses for me if I wanted to invest in my listenership and grow my audience. Maybe that's a play. So because I gave that athlete money and provided them with the means to travel to Wodapalooza to even compete in the individual RX division, maybe not even elite, does that make them professional? You see, there's all these things that we got to bring up. Now, I want to also talk about Matt O'Keefe's position. Matt shared that he feels like if you put your whole mind and focus and intentionality behind pursuing something, that you're kind of a pro, right? Meaning that, like, the moment that you deem that this is most important to you, you're a pro. And I have pushback against that. I don't agree with that. I think it's cool to have that mentality and mindset. But if you're going to consider yourself a pro, one, there needs to be some type of credential that shows that. And in the space of CrossFit, your resume needs to tell me you're a professional. I don't care what you think, what you want, what you hope to be in the future. You need to show me there's something there that proves that you are professional. What competition did you qualify for as an elite? What competition have you gone to with financial support? How long have you been doing it? And is there money exchanged in your pursuit of it? It's like me saying that, yes, I'm a coach, but I don't have a credential that shows I'm a coach. Oh, by the way, also, not only is there no credential, but there's also, I've never made a dollar from coaching. Does that make me a professional? Certainly not. No matter how bad I want to be a professional, no matter how much I say that I want to be professional, I'm not a pro, right? For me, as a professional coach, what I can do is take you, I'm going to show you my level one, my level two, my level three, my CSCS, my USAW. I'm going to go walk you through. I'm going to have them hanging up. Perhaps if I want to tout my education experience, I'm going to show you my Bachelor of Science in Human Performance. I'm going to do all these things. Then I'm going to pull up my resume. And then I'm going to show you the thousands of athletes that I've worked with, the tens of teams, not just at a high school or a club level, but also a collegiate level, Division I, that I've helped coach and or train. Then I'm going to get into the hundreds of athletes that have helped pursue becoming the fittest on earth, whether it was a semifinal level at the CrossFit Games or at a local regional level, right? There's going to be things. And then also, you can look at my pricing. You can look at my points. You can see clearly I'm making an income. I'm a professional at this thing. To be a pro in the sport of CrossFit, I think you got to have some type of resume that reflects that. No, it's not black and white, and no, it's not like a set amount. Hey, listen, I got sponsorship. There were companies that were paying me as little as $200 a month to support me, right? That doesn't make me less professional. That makes me less successfully professional than someone else, but it doesn't make me less professional. Someone deemed that my value as a competitor and my life, my personal life brand, which to me, I will always share with you guys and be honest, the reason I got sponsorships wasn't just because of my performance. I've never been like top tier elite. I've been to the CrossFit Games one time as an individual in 2015. I placed 21st. I've been to the CrossFit Games in the 35 to 39 year old bracket. I finished third on the podium. I've been to the CrossFit Games three times on a team, and we won it all three of those times, which is great. Teams don't get that much attention though. And my audience and following has continued to grow throughout the years, but it's not because of my performance necessarily. That draws some people in, but it's my personal brand. Some people are either opposed to me, so they follow me, or some people support the way that I prioritize faith, family, and fitness, and the way that I speak, the audacity at which I present information, the conviction that's in my voice. A lot of people are drawn to the way that I present information. And it's because, I mean, all of this exists just because of who I am, and what has made me who I am is my background and my life experiences. That's what draws this conviction from my tone and the way that I'm able to share things. And you know, all in all, when it comes down to it, it's are you likable in a way? And this might seem unfair because now we're talking about a different scope of the conversation. So not only are we talking about performance and are you a pro there, but are you a pro on social media? And part of me hates this. I hate it. The reason I hate it is because I really would love to play a sport, and I would love CrossFit to be a sport where if you win, you don't have to have a presence on social media. You don't have to have a presence on YouTube. You can go into a cave. You can grind. You can get better every day. You can work on doing the things that you know are going to increase your performance, not tell anyone about it, and then roll the dice with how you perform because you've been in the lab, right? Or you've been in the cave, whatever you want to call it. I love the lab. Like, I've been in the lab. I've been working on my new skills, my new drills, my new everything. And I've been sharing it with no one because I'm not content with just progress. I don't want you to see my progress. I want you to think I'm the same athlete that I was last year. And I'm going to show up to the Rogue Invitational. I'm going to show up to Wodapalooza. I'm going to show up to Dubai. I'm going to show up to whatever it is, whatever it is, the CrossFit semifinals, the quarterfinals. And then I'm going to show you there. I'm going to let my presence, my attitude, my execution on game day be what matters, because that's all that matters. But folks, that's me living in a fantasy world. That's me living in like the 90s and the early 2000s, where I grew up watching Michael Jordan and watching Emmitt Smith and watching Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, these guys that I really knew nothing about their personal life because they balled out and they were supported by sports, traditional sports at a very high level, where the league was providing, or I'm sorry, the team was providing them, that owned them, the team with that negotiated their contracts with, provided them with such a salary. They didn't have to go out and sign autographs in order to pay their bills. They didn't have to go out and kiss babies and shake hands. Now, that was a part of it, but the birth of social media hadn't hit yet. With that being said, they didn't have the same responsibilities or demands that a lot of athletes have now. The beauty in social media, and now I'm going to hit you with a different perspective on this. I co-founded FNX in 2017. The beauty of social media is that we built our brand on the backs of social media. We could not have done this within the CrossFit space without it. In fact, think about our sport in general. CrossFit.com. That's social media in itself. That's www.crossfit.com, folks. Without the World Wide Web, this thing does not, I'm going to repeat, does not exist. And it does not exist to the level that we see here. It has not filled the pockets. It did not get Greg Glassman bought out. It did not get the new ownership in right now. It did not become fruitful and scalable without this. Right? Me being easy to hop on a mic and present to you, make it an audio file, make it a YouTube presentation. Right? So to think about this, we've got to kind of accept, I don't necessarily prefer it, but I've got to accept the good and the bad here, this balance of performance. Yes, chase performance and perform at a high level, but also your social presence and the personal brand that you're building. Because without that, again, CrossFit doesn't exist. If people couldn't submit their scores, times, and loads to CrossFit.com and comparing them to other people across the world, if people couldn't communicate there in the blog section, if people couldn't create these relationships, the CrossFit Games don't exist. Castro doesn't get the nod from Greg to like invite people out to his parents' ranch to start this thing to begin with. Everybody doesn't show up in droves, right? But because they had the ability, because of social media, to know and be known, because of that, bridged connections. Because of those connections, bridged and created a sport based on community. I'm going down a rabbit hole. Don't let me go that far. We're talking about being a professional in the space. So let's bring it back. We can't avoid the social media presence. You got to get good at it if you're not good at it, if you want to make big dollar bills. Also, on the other side, you got to stay focused on what's first. If I'm an athlete and I want to train my face off and recover the way that I should and be focused the way that I should, not on appearances, not on making a new vlog to show everybody how happy I am in my training or my new PRs or how cool it is where I live or my own personal gym, all this stuff. There's probably going to be money left on the table. Right, here's also what I'd say. I am a coach. Because I'm a coach, I feel like I have responsibility to the people that I work with. I'll always remind them to keep first things first. And here's why. Because if social media disappears today, tomorrow, guess who the world's going to support at large? The winners. Yeah, they're going to go after the crowd favorites. Yeah, they're going to have to go after the Roman Krennikovs when they seize that moment. But the bottom line is the history will come down to who has won our sport. And that's where the big brands are going to go to support people. If you show the longevity, if you show that you too can be likable, if people can be interested in you because you're interesting, those are all things that are going to have value, yes, but you got to win. You got to win. It pays to be a winner, always will. A good example of this, though, and I'm gonna use these guys because, you know, they're in the public eye. Jeff Adler won the CrossFit Games this year. Jeff Adler is the fittest on earth, first time ever. Been in our space for a while, been on the come up for a while, tremendously evolved and changed his training methodology over the years. Caroline Lambre is an amazing leader and coach, who is also Jeff's partner. They've done amazing things. Jeff's following went up. Half of what Roman Krennikov's following went up this year at the CrossFit Games. Roman had an injury. Roman was doing well. It took him out of contention to win it. Still got on the podium. He had moments that stopped the crowd in their tracks, trying to do double unders on single leg, limping out there with a boot on or with an Olympic weightlifting shoe on to support his broken foot. Jeff is the one that executed at a high level. Jeff's the one that was a champ. But look at who potentially could see a greater long-term financial gain. It could be Roman. I'm not saying I like it, but I'm saying it's reality. Jeff won. Jeff took the bag. Jeff took home $300,000+. He'll take it over followers for sure. Let me tell you, especially with the things that I feel like I know about him, the way that he carries himself, the way that he handles business. I don't know that he wants to be a public guy. I don't know that he wants to be that social butterfly. I don't know that he wants to make people laugh. I don't know all these things. Not that he's not funny and not that he's not a great dude, but I don't know that he wants that. But here you've got Roman Krennikov, a fan favorite because he'd been denied from the games because he couldn't get visa for several years, but he qualified. Tremendous amount of fitness. Came in last year as a rookie. This boyish, jovial smile on his face as he just knocked down event wins and crushed the field in many tests. But the opportunity now for Roman to build a personal brand and exponentially reach new audiences is crazy. So you know who comes knocking at your door or your agent's door? Brands. Brands not just within the CrossFit space, but outside of the CrossFit space, if they're smart. Because now we got international play, right? He is overcome a lot. There's a story there. You can build storylines around this. Now, the only limitation right now is Roman's English is limited. So in our country, when it comes to making dollar bills, there's a bit of an obstacle there. But if you can use his face and his likeness and he's balling out of control and he's still being, you know, on his P's and Q's with the way he handles himself and good in the public eye, he's going to make more money. I say all of this, and I went on a tangent again, talking about the best in the world, to share that to be a pro, you probably need to be making some dough. Right? That's my stance on it. I don't think you have to necessarily only compete. So here's where this comes from. You can compete, make money, allow that to be a buffer against you working full time, allow that to be a buffer against you being forced to work a lot, that enough that impedes your training. And I think you're a pro, you're a professional. You've got brands that support you. You probably got most of your travel, if not all your travel, covered all year to anything that you want to go to. You got people that probably reward you for winning, meaning that, like, hey, if you win $5,000 at a competition, they come in and pay you an extra $2,500 or whatever it looks like, right? It depends on how you like to be supported. Are you putting your money where your mouth is as a performing athlete? And if you are, what that looks like is it's probably you saying, hey, you don't got to pay me so much guaranteed, but when I get on that podium, I want to see a handsome reward because I'm taking your brand to the top of the podium with me. I'm going to wear your t-shirt. I'm going to wear your hat. I'm going to do this, but I'm a winner. People are going to correlate my brand with winning. Don't you want to be a winner? If I was an athlete, I could go back or like negotiate some terms and help athletes have this perspective. If they think they can really win, do that. Because there's probably a little bit of heavier reward there. And I got a whole story about a Reebok deal that I had when we won the CrossFit Games in 2017 that allowed me to get paid. And Matt O'Keefe was a part of that, which I appreciate a ton. But that we'll save that for another day. Bottom line here is you got to get paid to be a pro because that means you got a resume. That means you got a personal brand. And that means you're relevant enough in the sport to actually pursue it at a very high level. Till then, I'm not sure. Till then, it's a dream for you, and that's okay. And most people aren't getting paid enough to, one, make it a career. It's only a job. to almost every single person. There's only a handful, literally a handful of people who have made this a true career. And they're such unique people in their mind, in their physical abilities, in the luck that has been on their side, that it's going to be hard to replicate that throughout the years. So it's always an ongoing conversation. I think that the important thing that we have here is a perception on how hard it is to be a pro in this space, because it's evolving. We've talked about this on this podcast. I've talked about this on the CrossFit Games podcast. I've talked about this in a lot of different places. We are in the leather helmets and, neck roll, not even the neck roll level. We're in the leather helmets with no face mask period, of CrossFit. And so while social media has helped us grow tremendously, it expedites a lot of the difficult parts that tough history had played a role in other sports like basketball, football, tennis, golf. CrossFit still has a long ways to go, and we're going to figure this out. One of the biggest things that we can do to help professionalize this space, this is my opinion. If you're a spectator in this, you show up. Show up in the open because you're literally funding the sport. Show up in person to support athletes because you're literally funding the sport. Continue to have ideas. Continue to give feedback, both good and bad. That's fine. But those of you that get the opportunity to be the loudest are the ones that show up for the sport and fund the sport. TV deals are being done. I think we're exploring different ways to present sport to people. I don't know if the Masters and the age group and the adaptive make it to wherever we're going to have the CrossFit Games in 2024. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if it should be, though. And so I think it'd be cool if they had something else, and they had something else like a month before, and it gave people to cover it in the form of viewership, gave people an opportunity to show up in person to maybe both the age group championships, fittest on earth, and then go to the CrossFit Games still. I think that it would be really sick if there were ways for us to document and record and capture at a very high quality level what's taking place in the age groups, and then be able to reference them on live TV in front of the masses. Show those highlights right before Jeff Adler and Roman Krennikoff and Ricky Garrard and Justin Medeiros all take the floor for that final men's heat of the final, right? Like when viewership is the highest, we drop it on them where it's like, this is the highlight of our age groups. These are our teen athletes doing a workout just like this. These are our master's athletes. This is our 60 to 65 year olds. Look at them doing muscle ups. Look at them walking on their hands. Look at how they physically look. This is what CrossFit can do for you down the road. This is what, and now listen, I know you're listening to this. You're like, Adrian, everyone can't look like that. I know that. You think I don't know that? I'm 37. I've been coaching a lot of people. I've worked with master's athletes. Listen, I've worked with people that are so committed to this craft that they're willing to hurt themselves or marginalize their life experiences in order to pursue a high level. And they don't look ripped and chiseled, and they're not going to make it to the CrossFit Games, and they X, Y, and Z, right? Not everyone's going to look a certain way. However, you can't forget, like, our sport is one of our biggest marketing tools that exists, folks. It brings up great, great topics. It makes people curious. Wow, can I look like that? Would I have that capacity? Look at what these guys and women, look at these, what these men and women are doing. I'm so inspired to pursue such a thing. There's a uniqueness in that. We have to use it, and we have to continue to leverage it. And this is the beauty. This is the beauty. And I'm going to bring you back. This is another rant. So I apologize. Hopefully you guys, that's why you watch it. CrossFit, from 2007, when the CrossFit Games began and became an idea, to 2020 and beyond, maybe 2021, I would say honestly until new ownership was more solidified and Domfall came in as CEO. So let's call it to 2022. 2007 to 2022, we had a growing community for the most part. There were some blips. You guys know what happened in 2018, media got stripped. Like, there was a lot of things that Greg did that kind of hurt us as a movement. The open got played with, like a lot of things. It doesn't like this fact. 2007 to 2022, the games was not a pillar of the business of CrossFit. CrossFit existed to touch people's lives in affiliate level, to grow the level one kernel, to help more people sign up to that, to spread the knowledge, to spread the potential health is wealth movement of eating meats and veggies, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar, doing constantly varied functional movements at high intensities, right? Understanding what that looked like. What are functional movements? What is high intensity? How do we blend these things together? How do we program it? What, like, we were trying to spread this knowledge and create a movement and create more affiliates so that we could change lives throughout the entire course of history and this world. That's still part of the business model. But that was the only business model. The games were kind of like a sideshow, kind of like not a stepchild, but like, I'm a stepchild too. I'm not talking down about stepchild, but you get the idea. It's kind of like it wasn't the primary focus, is what I'm saying. And now it is. It is a pillar within the business that is going to allocate and help. It's gonna spur along other things that are taking place. This is a complete game changer. We're only a year into this. We didn't know how to negotiate the games before and how to tie it into the big business model. And now there are people in place that believe in this. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be changes. There has to be. Before, this was like the games were just the games. And it kind of did the games thing, right? But now it's under the umbrella of the whole CrossFit movement and vision. How can the games feed this? How can this feed the games? How do they all flow and work together? And I think this is a beautiful thing and will bring forth the opportunity for more eyes. It will bring forth the opportunity for more cold reach, meaning like audiences that watch ESPN, audiences that listen to podcasts, audiences that do whatever. Media has to be the source. That those two things are going to bring growth for the businesses that are involved in the space. If growth from the businesses takes place, folks, these smaller brands that can grow. I'm going to use FNX for an example. We started within the CrossFit space. We grew within the CrossFit space, and then we started to venture out and grow elsewhere as well. Look at what other brands are doing. You got the Nobles doing the same thing. You got there's many other that we start to see branch out, right? As people grow within the CrossFit space and then they branch out and we see more economic success for them financially, other brands are going to want to come into our space and dabble and have curiosity and invest in it. Because as we grow and show success and show that we can be consumers of different things, we can help Mercedes-Benz grow in a unique way. We can help Visa, MasterCard grow in a unique way. These are bigger players that do have deeper pockets that can support our, not just athletes, but the CrossFit Games at large. Now, I don't know if that's in the cards. I don't know if that's even an interest for CrossFit. I'm literally speaking from my own opinion off the cuff here, folks. So don't judge me too harshly. And also understand that this is just a rant that I felt like I wanted to get out post the interview that we had yesterday with Chase and Matt O'Keefe about being a professional within the space. I bring all this to the light to say that we're going to grow this sport. I'm very confident of that. And I feel very good about where it's going. I think we're going to have new opportunities to follow athletes at a deeper level. I think we're going to get better at storytelling. I think we're going to get better at just growing CrossFit itself. More affiliates are going to pop up because of the way that we're going to be seen from the outside in and the inside out. Affiliates are going to have to start to be more successful. CrossFit is serving them at a way that we've never tried to serve them before. Everything's just going up. And I know that sounds biased. I do work for CrossFit. I teach seminars for them. I appear on podcasts for them. But I'm not a full-time CrossFit employee. And I think that's important to understand. All the tides are rising right now, and it's a beautiful thing. The best thing that desirable athletes can do, or athletes that have the desire to be a pro in this space, mm-hmm. is to invest in your fitness. What I mean by that is getting an appropriate coach, following an appropriate program, spending time doing the appropriate amount of work that's going to get you the results that you seek. What's going to help you break through the semifinals? And when you get there, how are you going to seize the moment? Are you talking with people about that? Or are you just kind of doing whatever template program exists out there? What do you think that you're going to get a huge return on your efforts and not make any sacrifice and not making any investment? At this point in our space, not happening. It's going to be few and far between where you see athletes show up and excel at a very high level, and all they're doing is following a program that everyone else is following and not being led with an individual relationship, more importantly than anything. A program you follow is important, but it's not the most important thing. It's who you run with, who you roll with, the mentality that you take on, the way that you approach your training, the way that you approach your recovery, the mindset that you have when you fail, the mindset that you have when you succeed. How do you get on to the next thing? This is what's important for athletes. I'm serious. It's a whole mentality and mindset that make you who you are. It's not the program that you follow. And I write programs, and I think a lot of them are great. That's never going to be what makes someone go to the CrossFit Games, nor have success there. And I think we're seeing that shift. I think we're seeing people that have close relationships and close ties to a particular coach and leader. They're having some success. It's a very individual pursuit. And again, the programming, everybody programs differently and they're all doing different things. But nonetheless, I wanted to get on here and riff it a little bit. I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to me rant. I'm sure that there were plenty of disagreements, and feel free to comment on them. Share this episode if you'd like. But I think that to be a pro within this space, you got to make some dough. That makes it official. Think about in any other pursuit, there's got to be an exchange. You've got to have a resume, and you should feel like you can support yourself and or your journey as an athlete in order to call yourself a professional. But like Matt O'Keefe shared, it starts with a mindset. And I'll agree that that's where it starts, but that certainly ain't where you get the title from my perspective. So good luck to everybody. Hey, you know, it's a tough sport. I love it. I think that if you're pursuing it, you better love it and you better nerd out on it and you better be all things CrossFit. Otherwise, you'll never really have a hope and or a chance to do big things and or call yourself a pro one day within the space. But nonetheless, athletes, if you got questions, if you need advice, I'd love to be here as a resource for you. Other than that, have a great day. Keep rising.